Was that fun? Was it such a good time? You know, as a church community, we do lots of interesting things throughout the course of a year and through the course of time. We have an amazing Christmas program that we put on with the kids. And that's fun. We have an amazing... Excuse me as I get myself ready here. We do this, an amazing Christmas Eve service, I believe, in this church. And we do lots of these fun things. But I'll be honest, this ranks right up there. This ranks right up there as far as special moments that we have and that we do as a church body. And so it's such a fun time. And I want to thank the three families for entrusting us as a community to help come alongside of them. Actually, as Reinhold was praying, I thought about a phrase that we used back when I was growing up, and we called it friend, aunts, and uncles. See, I didn't grow up anywhere close to my relatives. We were a province away, and we only saw them once, maybe twice a year. But we developed friend, aunts, and uncles. People who cared for us and loved us. Grandparents even across the back alley was a set of grandparents that were not biological, but they were as close to me as my own grandparents were. And I thought about that as actually was Reinhold was praying that, that's part of what we are as a church family and as a church community. We may not all be here relatives of these three families, but we get to be those friend aunts and uncles. We get to be those friend cousins to them, those friend grandparents to help support and love them. So what a special time we do. Some of you may not know, or maybe you've forgotten, that the whole child dedication is actually rooted in two specific scripture stories. And I just want to briefly touch on them this morning as we start the message. The first one is from Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And if those of you would remember and know that story, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that we read about Hannah. Hannah was one of two wives, and she was barren. And she couldn't have children. And because of this, she was actually ridiculed by her sister wife and by those around in her community, because back then, if you were barren, if you couldn't have children, you were seen as something was wrong with you, that God was putting his hand of punishment on you. At one point, the scripture says there in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that she got so distraught in her prayer that it came out like crying. And this is what she said. She said, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And for those of you who have read through that story, you know that that's exactly what happened. That Hannah did get pregnant, and she did exactly this. That she gave her son, dedicated him, as it were, back to the Lord when he was a few years old. And so that's one of the stories that we use with this whole child dedication. The other story that we have that we formed the child dedication around is a story of the Passover from the book of Exodus. And if you were to go back and read through the book of Exodus, you would remember and realize that through the course of time, God had chosen Moses to lead the people out of Egypt and back into the promised land. And when he went to Pharaoh and asked Pharaoh to let my people go, Pharaoh had refused. And then God then sent various plagues into Egypt to convince Pharaoh to let the people go, but he wouldn't. It did not work. He would not let the Israelite people go back to the promised land. So finally, God said to Moses that he was going to strike the whole of Egypt with the killing of all the firstborn males in the land, including the firstborn sons. And God told Moses that the only way that the Jewish people were to escape this is for them to sacrifice a lamb, sprinkle its blood on the doorposts of their homes. And as they did this, then God would pass over them, and their firstborn would not die. And in Exodus chapter 12, we know that this is exactly what happened. That the Israelite people, the Jewish people, did that, put the blood of the goat across the doorposts of their home, and this plague passed them over. And that really was the impetus of Pharaoh then letting the Jewish people leave Egypt and into the promised land. Well, right after this story, in Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we read this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belong to me." So they were to do this as an act of remembrance of God setting them free and bringing them out of the land of Egypt, of saving them. And this is actually the story that we see in Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, after the birth, we read about how Jesus was circumcised. And then in verse 22, we read that Joseph and Mary had taken Jesus to the temple to be presented, to be dedicated, as it were. And it's really based on these two stories of the Passover from Exodus and of what happened with Hannah that we've come up with this idea of child dedication. And we actually see that in the example of Jesus. Again, that he was dedicated to the Lord. And that's why we as a church do this. Not every church dedicates children, and that's fine. But that's some of the understanding and some of the history of how child dedication has come about. Well, this morning, I want us just to take just a few minutes to delve into the story where Jesus was dedicated at the temple and to notice the encounters that took place. We've read about those encounters this morning already through the scripture reading, but I want to reread certain portions of that scripture. But before we do, let's take a moment to pray. So God, you are this amazing God, and just as you spoke to Moses back then, you speak to us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would have the ears to hear from you this morning, that we would hear the truths, the things that you want us to know, so that we can apply them into our life, so that we can go and go further and deep deeper and go deeper in our faith and in our journey with you. So Holy Spirit, speak and lead the words that I have to say. But also, Father, may we have those ears to hear from you. Amen. So we're going to look at the story again of these two encounters that Mary and Joseph and Jesus had at the temple. And that first one is, we're going to read, is about Simeon. So verse 25 says this, 25 and 26 says, "At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout and eagerly waiting the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah." Now we're going to flip over to this other encounter, verses 36 and 37. "And Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when she had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer." So these are the two people that this family encountered in the temple. And it's the only place where we actually read about Simeon and Anna. And really, we're not told a lot about them. Yet what we are told says an awful lot. It says here that Simeon was righteous, that he was devout, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was eagerly awaiting the promised Messiah. Anna, we hear that she was old, yet she stayed at the temple to to worship God with prayer and fasting. Do you know what those things speak of? Those things speak of their character. Speaks of who they are. Speaks of their character. And you know, it's been interesting. See, over the last number of weeks, for those of you who are part of this church, you'll know that we've been looking at the various individuals surrounding the birth of Jesus. And probably the thing that we've noticed as much as anything as we've looked at these people is we've noticed their character. We've seen some great character from Zechariah and John the Baptist and the Magi and Joseph. And from last Sunday, we've seen some not so great character from Herod. Folks, our character is how we will be known and defined by. Okay? Our character is how we will be known and defined by. We'll be known and defined by it because it is who we are. Just as we have heard and have seen and have observed the character of these people around the birth narrative of Jesus, we will be known and defined by our character. And I don't know about you, but when I take that look in the mirror and look into my character, I see somebody who is far, far from perfect. If I'm honest, I see someone who isn't where I would like to be, and I know I'm not where God would desire me to be. Can any of you relate to that? We probably all can. But here's the good news, folks. The good news is this, is that as we long for God and as we submit to Him speaking to us and to His Word, He shapes and reshapes our character to reflect Jesus. I say this to us because we are not stuck. We're not stuck. You know, as a pastor, I've been pastoring for over 2 decades now. And I've chatted with lots and lots of people over time. And one of the things that I've heard people say to me is, yes, I know I have this character flaw, but it's kind of who I am. It's just the way I've been and always will be that way. No. That's wrong. Because you see, we're not stuck. We don't need to be stuck in having that anger issue or that gossip issue or this issue or that issue, because God transforms us. He changes us. He wants us to reflect Jesus. So we're not stuck in having these character flaws, because God is in the business. He is in the business of changing us. He is in the business of forming and shaping us. If you don't believe me, you are a follower of Jesus. That is a character change. God, if God can save you, if God can give you that hope and that peace and that joy, then whatever character flaw you have, God can take and change. He calls us to reflect Jesus. And again, He is about this, but He calls for us to submit to Him, to submit to what He's saying to us, to submit to His Word. That's our part in this. So whatever character flaw you have when you look into that mirror and saying, oh, but I've always been like this, don't believe the lie that says that you always have to stay like that. Because God is in the business. He is in the business of shaping and reshaping our character. So, as we see and we look at Simeon, as we see and we look at Anna, we notice that they were people of great character. They were people of great character. Well, let's look a bit closer at this encounter that Simeon had with the with Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And I want us to specifically notice the prophetic words that he said to them in verses 29 to 32. In the New Living Translation, it reads this way. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Wow. What amazing words for this family to hear about their son. See, this prophecy focuses on the universality of the message of the Messiah. And it really is a reflection of Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, which says, I will make you a light for all nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. And why this was extremely significant for Joseph and Mary to hear was because when you go back to their birth stories about when the angels spoke to Joseph and when the angels spoke to Mary, you see and you read the fact that he came to save the people of Israel from their sins. They hadn't heard this part or this aspect of the Messiah, that the Messiah wasn't just for Israel, but was for everyone. That was for everyone. And Joseph and Mary were amazed because they hadn't heard that before. They hadn't heard somebody say that about their son. As one commentary put it, and I love this, is that God used a stranger to inform them of their son's significance for the Gentiles. Their understanding of their little baby just grew a little bit bigger. He was the Messiah for the Jewish people and for everyone else. It was an all-inclusive message, not an exclusive message. Some of us are going to go down south and we're going to go to these all-inclusive hotels. Well, no, this is much more inclusive than that. It's all-inclusive for every nation, for every gender, for every economic status. That's the Messiah. That's why Jesus was born. The Messiah has come as an all-inclusive package, not an exclusive package. So now, this is, and Simeon also said some other things, but I want us to think about this. I also now want to couple it with the encounter that Anna had in verse 38. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about this child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem, or that's a euphemism for Israel. So what we have here is that Anna overheard that the promised Messiah, the one that she'd been waiting for, had been born. And her reaction to hearing this news about Jesus was actually twofold. One, she couldn't stop praising God. The things that she was saying were praise to God for the coming Messiah. And the other thing the scripture says here is that she shared that message with everyone, with the people who are waiting expectantly for the Messiah to come. Again, this must have warmed the hearts and the minds of Mary and Joseph that this complete stranger, this random stranger in the temple would hear about their son, would praise God for him and for his message. So much so, that this stranger had to go and tell that person and that person and that person and that person and that person about Jesus. Wow. That broadened their understanding of Jesus just even a bit more than with what Simeon had just done. You see, folks, these encounters with Simeon and with Anna were extremely significant to Mary and Joseph's life because it rounded out more of the picture of who Jesus was. It really affirmed to them that God the Father's hand was on their son. It just broadened things out. That's why it was significant encounters for Joseph and Mary. But what about us? Let's bring this now into 2020. What is the significance of these of the stories of the encounters between Simeon and Anna with this family? What's significant for us about it? Well, let's notice again what was said here. Simeon tells the message of Jesus that this message was for everyone, that was all inclusive. And then what did Anna do? She shared that message out. Doesn't this sound just a little bit similar to Acts 1:8 when it says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, folks, what this was in Luke chapter 2 was an echo to something that became a theme of Jesus and the message of Jesus. And the fact that the mandate that we have been given has been this, that in every book of the Gospels and in the book of Acts, that we've been given a mandate in some form to go share Jesus into our community. And that community is not just this local community, but it's the broad community. See, every one of the books of the gospel were written to some specific people. And so each one of them were given that same mandate. When you add up all five of these together, for us who have the scriptures, this says something an awful lot to us. You see, the reason why you're still on this earth is for this. You see, God could have taken you up to be with him the day after you made that decision to be his follower. But he didn't. He didn't because of this mandate that he has given to us. To share the message of the Messiah. To share the message of Jesus with everyone. To share it out. We have been left on this earth for that reason. And so this morning, the challenge that I have for us today is very simply this. Desire to live out and share the good news of Jesus. The reason I put the word desire there is because sometimes it's not. At least from my own life, and Rachel, I've been talking about this recently, that we've been given this mandate. But we need to share that message of Jesus into our communities. Be it across the street from us, be it your neighbors, be it the people at your work or in your school, be it the people who you socialize with, be it the people who you recreate with, be it the people who you go to work with, be it the people in Iran, be it the people everywhere. We need to desire to share the good news of Jesus out with people. And it will not always be easy. In fact, I would dare say that probably one of the hardest things for us to do as followers of Jesus is share the message of Jesus with people who don't understand it. But that's the mandate, that's the call that God has on your life and on my life. So, as we start 2020, and I've talked about this before, and most of us don't make New Year's resolutions or anything like that, but what I'm going to challenge you with is this, that as you start 2020, take up this challenge. Take up this challenge to desire to share the good news of Jesus into your world and into your community. He came to be the Savior, not just for Israel, not just for the people in this room, but he came to be the Savior of everyone. It is an all-inclusive message. Will you take up this challenge this year as 2020 starts? Let us pray. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for just an amazing day you've given to us, just this amazing time of child dedication. And I want to thank you for this story of Simeon and Anna. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us as people to know who have ingrained the message of Jesus, of him being Savior. Father, help us as people who have ingrained that into our world and into our life to be able to desire to share that on. Oh, God, I know it's not easy. So, Holy Spirit, come and help us and lead us with this. You've given us this mandate, and we want to hear it, and we want to follow it, and we want to do it. So, Father, I really pray that you would show your hand of favor upon us as we walk into our places of school and of business, of work, of recreation. Father, that you would just give us opportunities for people to share the message of Jesus with those people. Oh, Father, we live generous lives. Lives that so desire to be the hands and feet, the salt and light, as you've called us to be. Father, help us, as help our character to show that. Oh, Lord, transform and change and mold and shape us. Shape us into the image of Jesus. And may that be part of our witness into our communities and into our worlds. I pray this all in the name of our Savior, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand.